You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.
Joke and say, hey, there's only five of us. We need two more people to do this review.
That would be magnificent.
No.
Right, guys?
But then you'd have the one guy who pretended to speak English the whole review. So really, it'd only be six people on mic.
Until at the end they go, no, that was good.
What? Or until he says, I'm hungry.
Yeah. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
JC.
Kyle.
Harbin.
I'm sorry, I'm doing my Vincent D'Onofrio impression. Which, by the way, I have to say right now, Vincent D'Onofrio's character, John Horn, best character in the movie.
Agreed.
But
oh my
gosh. Completely ridiculous, though.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, yeah.
It's because he's the only guy who's not playing just the same character that he plays in every other movie or a Western stereotype. Yeah.
Chris, are you saying Denzel Washington only has like one face that he uses in every film?
I'm saying he's working with Anton Fuqua, he does.
Oh, yes.
This is the umpteenth billionth remake of The Magnificent Seven, just one of the few that's actually called The Magnificent Seven.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood really wants the Western to come back, but it seems it's only indie filmmakers who managed to do it successfully lately.
Certainly with Hell or High Water, which is probably the best Western we've seen in the last few years.
Yeah.
Since True Grit, the remake of True Grit.
But it's definitely a classic story you've got going on here. I'm not sure Anton Fuqua was the guy to tell it.
No.
But that being said, this is also written by Nick Pizzolatto, who wrote True Detective 1. True Detective Season 1 and, True Detective Season 2.
Oh, you'll talk about that.
We know.
That never happened.
Ignore it.
Fever Dream.
Ignore that.
That theme song was the original Fever Dream.
Yes.
I mean, the original Western, which was a big hit, and although strangely apparently not as big a hit as you'd think when it first came out, was kind of the mixed results. But over the years, it got a huge following.
It seems like one of those that developed a following over the years. I, unfortunately, haven't seen it yet, but I wanted to before.
It's good.
It's kind of the same. Yeah, no, I think it's a good movie. I saw it like probably a decade ago, but it had kind of the same following like the Sergio Leone Westerns. Those Clint Eastwood movies that people love, like Good and Bad and the Ugly, when they came to the States, I mean, critics railed against them, and they didn't make that much money here.
Well, it was interesting that, like, even though the tide had already turned in the Western towards more of the existential Western, more of the gray character Western, that almost in some ways was a throwback to the old, it's good versus evil, it just had that weird take that a lot of the good guys were former bad guys, kind of,
They're charmingly roguish. But they're not evil.
That
or bad.
Itself was a remake of The Seven Samurai, and critically, it was a little, attacked because people were like, "Yeah, this isn't as good as The Seven Samurai," and it's not, to be sure.
No,
but it's still, in its way, a Western classic. So even though it's been remade, I still think Beyond the Battle of the Stars, that was the name of it. Yeah, is like the best remake of it.
Not seen that one.
It's Roger Corman's.
Oh, that's probably why.
I'm kidding a bit, but it's still a fun movie.
A little hyperbole.
This time, it's shortly after Civil War. You see, evil industrialist comes in, played by Peter Sarsgaard, who's really good at that sort of thing.
Yeah. He's lost some weight, too. Did you guys notice that?
He got really
He's been
skinny.
Hitting the gym.
But he straight up just makes Matt Bomer, tells him, you're never going to be the headline star of a movie, and
you're
shoots him
down. You're too pretty.
He is too pretty.
He wasn't at first. I was just damn, look at those eyes.
Yeah.
You're like, right off Piercing. The bat, you're like, that guy is not going to be one of the Magnificent Seven. He's way too pretty. And his wife, played by Haley Bennett, who, by the way, is kind of a knockout. At first, you're like, yeah, she's an okay-looking woman, but she really grows on you.
It helps when they put her in that super, like, low-cut dress where they're showing off her
lovelies. That's not true.
She had a little Katniss Everdeen thing going on.
But she goes finds Denzel Washington, plays Sam Chisholm. Keeps saying he's not a bounty hunter, but come on, he's a bounty hunter.
He's a bounty hunter for the United States government.
Yeah, and he's a badass. Yeah. And she's like, look, I need you to go do this. And he's like, okay. and so he goes and gathers a bunch of other badasses, including Chris Pratt, who's kind of the comic relief guy. It's funny.
That's a stretch for him.
Wikipedia, and in the original, they do the thing where, he has a fondness for explosives. Like, in the original, it was a big thing where he was constantly using dynamite.
Yeah.
Here, it's like once, and not till towards the end of the movie.
It might have helped explain how they set all that up instead of just like, let's just lay out this here and hope for the best.
I did notice in the marketing, they pulled lines where he talks about, ooh, I want to blow stuff up. And then, he says it like once in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, it was really like an afterthought. Ethan Hawke is Goodnight Robichaux, a guy they call him the Angel of Death because he was like one of the all-time great sharpshooters.
Confederate sharpshooters.
But now he's got something's going on. He's a little shaky.
Yeah.
Another sign of how mediocrely written this film was. But when it comes around to like dealing with it, the film's finally like, I don't know. Don't worry about it. Whatever.
Yeah. It's just like we needed some sort of problem between them.
I mean, the runtime's 133 minutes. I wouldn't be surprised if there was... Because, I mean, Nicholas, however the hell you say his last name.
Nick Pizzolatto?
Yeah. I mean, he wrote this thing. I wouldn't be surprised if he turned in a 180, 200-page script.
Yeah, knowing him, probably. Yeah. Vincent D'Onofrio plays Jack Horn, who's like a tracker type guy. Who is by far...
I don't know what that accent is, but I love it.
Yeah, he made so many strange choices in the performance that you kind of can't take your eyes off him.
I saw a little Kingpin in there, that kind of awkwardness where when you're first introduced to him, like they say it's like basically, I don't want to spoil the joke, but he's a bear of a man. And
awesome introduction, by the way.
He just barrels into the scene, just like kind of off. Like, you see him out of the corner of your eye, he just comes in, he does something really, really cool, and where he has these, like, when you hear him talk, it sounds very awkward, but then everything he kind of says is a little beautiful in its own way. I'm going to do a little prayer for you.
He's got just kind a of one. A weird look.
Yeah. you just can't help but laugh and just see you're completely captivated by his performance, but yeah, I mean, he's by far the best character in the film.
Byung-Hun Lee, Korean actor, you've seen in some Park Chan-wook films, really great actor. He is sort of Ethan Hawke's best friend / sidekick guy who
partner.
So they can have a guy who'll come on and do cool martial arts, basically.
I was excited about his when I saw him on screen, and I'm really glad he's doing more American movies. Because he's in some amazing Korean movies.
And then the two largely unknown here, Manuel Garcia Rolfo as a Mexican outlaw who's given next to nothing to do except for suffer Mexican jokes from Chris Pratt.
Oh, God, I hate that so much.
I know, I could feel John just next to me going,
just like after this and Quentin Tarantino's Less of the Hateful Eight.
Speedy Gonzalez.
I feel like you can only say cabrón. That is all you're allowed to say if you're Spanish and in that era.
Señor Speedy, why are you so...
And then Martin Sensmeer is the Comanche warrior that joins because the movie needed to extend its ethnic cast out to Native Americans.
He's a man of honor, Chris. So you're going to come... His introduction is by far the worst, where they just say, he just wanders into the scene, not like Vincent D'Onofrio's character, but just like, yeah, I'm going to show up for the rest of the movie. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's just like...
Eat some buffalo, whatever.
I see you only got six guys.
And the chick doesn't count.
Yeah.
I know how to do makeup.
It'd be funny if in one of these movies, at some point, like, Denzel Washington goes up to him and says, are you Comanche? In that language, and it'd be funny if in one of these movies they go, you know, there are other Indian tribes out there.
That would have been good. Yeah.
There's like 15 of us.
Yeah.
A lot of them are gone by this point, though. So that's the one thing.
I mean, the sad thing is everyone, all the actors are trying so hard here to do their best with this genuine, I think my biggest problem is heavily cliched material. Mm. I mean, I was telling Courtney, the original doesn't have as many Western cliches in it as this movie does. Like, and a lot of that has to do with the score, which is overplaying
constantly.
It's trying to do a new take on the classic theme, but also a lot of, like, I mean, there's secrets before the, you know, the big attack on the town. They literally do the church bell ringing as you see each character. I'm like, you're fucking kidding me, right?
Well, I was relieved by the score, because in the trailer it has that hip hop song at the end, and it's like, well, I hope they don't do that, because that wouldn't make sense. And they don't.
And they don't. Yeah.
Is that score from that salsa commercial? You guys know what I'm talking about.
What, the Pace salsa?
Yeah. Like, is that the same tune?
Was one of those
yes, it is. Let's just go with it. Let's end it.
So Chris Pratt's like, "You're also some New York City,
New York City."
Yeah, I don't know. I think the action is okay, but it doesn't add anything to the previous one, and nor is it like anywhere near as good as it should be, considering you've got this ensemble cast with so much talent in it, like. Why isn't this feel more like Guardians of the Galaxy or something, you know? Why isn't there that sense of, like, camaraderie and fun, cool action moments? Why isn't that here? I don't understand. It's mainly just kind of by the book, wrote, everybody shoots each other, end of story.
Yeah. I mean, in regards to the action, I thought the action was kind of sloppy, where, I'm sorry, but if I'm seeing a Western, I want it to be brutal and bloody as possible. And you see people, like, blowing up, like, constantly. Like, they use dynamite and explosives to defend the town, and they're blowing horses up, they're blowing people up, but you never see any blood. Occasionally from the gunshot going, this must be PG-13. I can't see this. This can't be rated R.
No, I don't think it's
rated R. Yeah, there was no F-bombs, and
No. The occasional shit and, you know, whatever.
Well, I was thinking about that during the movie, because to me it seemed like it was kind of violent, but yeah, you do bring up a good point that there wasn't a lot of blood, and there were no F-bombs, so they probably did skirt around.
They're very careful to hide everything, you know. So, but, and then in regards to, like, the camaraderie between everyone, we're just introduced to them all too late. Like, we get to spend a lot of time, really, between Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, and
a little bit with Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke, and I love that moment. There's a total moment between Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke where I just wanted Denzel to go, "Hey, smoke this." You know, it was very much a Training Day moment where it's like, you're pussying out right now. And, you know, I love that. Smoke this crack.
That's it did kind of feel like an alternate telling of that story.
It did. It was like a reuniting between them after, because I don't think, had they made a movie since Training Day?
I think
maybe that was Antoine Fuqua's like, "Oh, this is my little thing. I'm going to enjoy it personally." So, but other than that, yeah, I thought you really don't get to know many of the characters. And aside from Vincent D'Onofrio, who's just so much fun when he's on screen.
But you're not even getting to know him.
Okay,
it's
just fair
his
enough.
His tics are more entertaining than everyone else.
True. You know? It's like
he's the Groot.
He's the Groot.
Yes.
I know. I guess that was my problem. Is like, not only do we not really know much about any of these characters or even understand other than vague mentionings of their motivations to being here at all, like literally really vague, like asides of it has something to do with this thing that happened, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, in regards to Denzel Washington's character,
but they don't even aren't even given by the script, mind you, hardly any chance to really meaningfully interact with each other. Mm-hmm. Most of the nice moments for that are entirely due to the chemistry of the talented cast, who do way more than anybody should be expected to with this kind of mediocre script. At least that's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you guys feel about Peter Sarsgaard's ridiculous just take on the villain of the film?
I don't think they gave him enough to do. I mean, he does a lot in the opening scene, but in the whole battle, he's basically just kind of standing by the side and then
looking bored, kind of.
Yeah.
And nothing but a smirking mustache twirler, and that's all there is to your character?
Yeah.
You're not interesting.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest misuse of any member of the cast is Peter Sarsgaard. Like, he's good when he's there and when he's talking, but, I mean, there's nothing really intimidating. Like, why? And they don't even really do that thing with the altered perception of, like, because he's not a big guy. He's just, semi-powerful, but, like, why do people...
Yeah, I did think about that halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
What does he do that the guy next to him already isn't doing, too?
Yeah.
He takes Latin, and he has this voice.
He's got the money.
He's got voice.
Yeah. He's the payday.
The guy who can hire douchebags to come in and shoot everyone if he doesn't do what he says.
Yeah, douchebags with eye patches. Douchebags with scars across their eyes with their eye patches.
They went to the douchebag store with every variety.
Yeah. It's just really, it just comes...
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's just fine.
Well, speaking of douchebag store, I almost didn't, I don't admit that I caught this, but no, like one of the cowboy bad guys was seriously, he played like one of the bad guys on the OC. Like,
okay.
One of the guys from the wrong side of tracks.
On the OC? The show
yeah.
The OC?
Yeah, the show The OC.
I
hate
know.
That I
You're
admitted
on
that
your
I
own
watched
on
that.
That one.
But that's the kind of guys that they have as the villains for this film.
He didn't watch The OC.
Yeah.
My late 40s, goddammit.
Three seasons.
And those of us who are younger than Chris, we just have more self-respect. So.
Aw. Dude, don't throw him under the bus like that.
No. You can throw me under the bus on this one.
I don't know. Let's go to final thoughts. I don't know. John, you go.
I'm looking at this character list, and I realize I didn't know any of their names. Except for Sam Chisholm, because he says it 18
times. They say it a lot.
Like, you gotta remember this one. Sam Chisholm. Mm. I'm already going to forget everything about this movie by the time I get home. Except for the fact that Vincent D'Onofrio's kind of funny. And it's one of those things where, as, like Chris had said with Daredevil, I can't tell if he's actually really good or he's just different enough to where it was entertaining compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. 4 out of 10 one-eyed jacks.
JC?
I actually like this a lot.
Wow, you weren't disagreeing with us when we were talking shit the whole time.
Well,
you
included. It's one of those things where, I mean, this script is kind of bad, but it is, to me, ultimately elevated by the performances. So, I mean, I agree. It's one of those situations where I do kind of agree with a lot of what y'all are saying, but I mean, I personally just had a ton of fun with this. Like, I thought the action was shot pretty well. I wasn't expecting very much out of it, but yeah, like I said, when I saw Byung-Hun Lee on the screen, I was really excited for his character and what he was going to do. Didn't disappoint. Nobody really disappointed at all. Like, Chris, I think this allowed Chris Pratt to flex his comedic muscles really well and his action muscles. Denzel does what he does, which to me always delivers. Ethan Hawke was great. Vincent D'Onofrio, to me, wasn't my favorite character, but I mean, he was really great. The two unknowns, other than the Mexican stereotype scenes, you know, he was kind of funny when he was interacting with Chris Pratt. They didn't give the Indian very much to do, but I liked the small characters in the town. I just kind of, you know, to me, for this being as long as it was, I just had a lot of fun with it. And for me, when Antoine Fuqua makes a movie that works for me, it works on a really high level. And when he makes a movie for me that doesn't work at all, it doesn't work at all. And those are movies I hate watching. And it's weird how hit or miss this guy is with me. But yeah, like, this for me hit. And I would give it 8 out of 10 bullet holes.
I'm actually probably more in your camp. I kind of liked it.
I'm going to get you guys, before this year is done, I'm going to get both y'all to get used to saying, well, I don't know, Chris, I'm going to have to disagree with you there.
But I don't disagree with you. There. No, like, everything you said is absolutely correct. They do nothing new with this story. I've seen, you know, 10 other versions of it that are better. And I think the rating, like, yeah, there's a lot of missed opportunities where the humor could have gotten adult, where the violence could have gotten a little more realistic. But this has a place in my life. If you have a younger, you know, cousin, somebody who you want to take to a PG-13 movie, they might really dig this, even if you're more familiar with the story. And chances are they probably haven't seen the original or a retelling. So this wouldn't be a half bad introduction to the idea. Yeah, I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 festering flesh wounds.
I was beginning to weary a little bit of the repetitive action, and I was really worried about the horses until you told me that they were...
Chris Pratt's a lot of fun, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. They were,
it's nothing you haven't seen before.
Yeah, Star-Lord.
They were hyper-cautious about no animals being hurt. I guarantee.
Because it appears as if you see 45 horses get slaughtered.
Yeah, it was CG.
Yeah.
Christopher Herman.
I want to see horses die in this film. Oh, PETA's going to be all about this
horses, they died.
But yeah, it's very disappointing. I mean, I'm not even a huge fan of the original. Like I said, I saw it many, many years ago. I liked it. And with this, I thought, I mean, did we really need another remake of Magnificent Seven? And the answer is kind of no. I thought Antoine Fuqua is probably one of the worst people to direct this, because I'm sorry, he's only had one hit, and that's been Training Day. Everything else that he's had in his filmography, I just found disappointing over the years. And I have to admit, aside from Vincent D'Onofrio was a lot of fun, and Chris Pratt is certainly charming, but to me, I felt he was just kind of doing Star-Lord again. You know, all of his other various, like, you know, roles. Like, I'm a handsome kind of, you know, badass who, you know, gives off a nice one-liner, you know, Jurassic World. Although I think he's better here than in Jurassic World.
He's the 80s action.
yes, of our generation.
I'm funny, and I'm kind of a rogue, mm-hmm. and I'm everybody wants to see Han Solo again. Okay?
Yes. How dare you disparage the great name of the Antoine Fuqua classic Shooter.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Which they're turning into a TV series right now as we speak.
Great. But, yeah, I have to admit, like, the person who disappointed me most in terms of their performance, even aside from Peter Sarsgaard, who's just ridiculous, it was Denzel Washington. My God, man, you have just one expression, you know? And, like, I appreciate your career and what you've been able to do for all these years, but he's coasting on his reputation, his legacy at this point. Do something different. Don't always mean mug the camera. We get it. But yeah, for me, I was also bored throughout a lot of this film, and even during those big action set pieces, it just falls flat in its face because it's like there's no blood, no one is exploding. Occasionally, you'll see some CGI bullet holes in some people, and it's like, okay, whatever. Yeah, I probably just give this 5 out of 10. Denzel Washington pouts.
You know, I actually agree with you completely about Denzel Washington. I think he's just gotten to this point that he's just kind of the McDonald's of actors. Mm-hmm. He's very reliable. He's always going to give you the same thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, when you're in the mood for it, you're like, yeah, this is fine. Mm-hmm. This is good. This will go down. I know that's what I expected. It's exactly what I got. But, like, you can't have McDonald's, but so often, you know? It's like, I need a little more from you here.
I need some chicken nuggets.
Every once in a while, he goes and does a Wendy's, like, with Flight. But, you know, we need
But even then,
more.
He's doing the whole...
Even then, he's kind of the, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, Mr. Powell. You're really good at this one thing, but, like, we've seen it 40 times.
Yep.
Like, it is really time to try something at least a little bit different. And I think part of that is he just keeps falling back on working with Fuqua. The same way, before Fuqua, he fell back on working with Tony Scott.
You're absolutely right.
You know, he finds a director who will let him stay in his comfort zone.
He needs to do a Man on Fire 2, Still Burning.
Still Burning. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's too much of that going on here, though, where no one is really being challenged as an actor, which is why it's easy for them. But ultimately, it's not that fun of a script. When you do these ensemble action films, it has to be fun to watch these people. And mm-hmm. I just wasn't having a lot of fun. Now, I am being harder on this film than a lot of your more casual viewers are going to be. They're going to go, I don't see why you didn't like it. It was fun. Well, I'm coming at this from a critic who's watched A, a lot of Westerns, B, a lot of movies with all of these actors, and C, a lot of big action ensemble films, and compared to, you know, in my experience of stuff, including the previous Magnificent Seven, which I don't think is one of the greatest Westerns ever made.
It's a good movie, but it's not something that...
It's not one of the all-time greats. I think it's always been overrated. Mm-hmm. It's still not even close to as good as that one. I just had trouble with it because I was expecting a lot more, quite frankly. Like, with a cast like this and a lot of the experience behind this, it just felt like no one really completely thought this thing through. Like, it was like they just were coasting on autopilot. And I can't accept that kind of laziness, especially when we've had one great Western after another coming out of the indie film world over the last 3 or 4 years. Like you said, Hell or High Water this year. Maybe my favorite movie this year is It's between that and Swiss Army Man right now.
Okay.
Yeah, one of those two.
Farting Corpse, Crazy Ben Foster. Yeah, exactly. Can't decide.
But, yeah, I mean, like, ultimately, you watch this, there's nothing inherently in your face wrong with it, except that there's nothing all that right with it either.
Yeah.
Which is just makes it kind of banal. If you haven't seen a Western in a really long time, you'll probably watch this and go, hey, that was fun. Saw a bunch of dudes die. Like, in comedy with Chris Pratt. I like him. Denzel Washington squinting into the camera. But, I don't know. For me, I just found it really dull. Really boring watching mm-hmm. these people do what seemed to be going through the motions. I give it 3 out of 10 samurai swords that should have been here instead.
Was the Beyond Hun Lee character kind of a reference to, like, the Seven Samurai? Like, hey, this is our... wink and nod to Seven Samurai.
Probably, but and yet wildly inaccurate and even kind of racist to do that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Since he's Korean.
That's true. I feel kind of bad now that I assumed he's Japanese.
But I'm hoping that Antoine Fuqua did watch The Good, the Bad, and the Weird and be like, all right, this guy can do a Western. Yeah.
Now, I want to see a version of Magnificent Seven by that guy.
That's the right decision.
Yeah.
That's so weird and violent and funny. Yeah, he did his Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, and it was like, this is a fucking masterpiece. Mm-hmm.
Then he made The Last Stand.
I actually like it better than Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, man, really?
Strong words, I know.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough.